This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say.
Hey, this is Sam Darnold, and the Michael K. Show starts right now. Have a good show, boys.
Thank you, Sam, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a big football Monday. It is November 16th. It's 2020. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that's your responsibility. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Weather wasn't great, but obviously some interesting things on TV. A big football day yesterday. If you didn't join us for the soft open, Adam Gase has revealed that Sam Darnold will miss this week's game, and Joe Flacco is going to start, so the shoulder issue continues to bother Darnold, and you wonder where it's going to go. Certainly not good news. You know, this is after a bye week. He's still not able to get back on the field, so that does not bode well for Sam Darnold.
Because you're not even close, right, Michael? Because he comes off a bye, and then on Monday, they don't even think he'll be ready for a game that's going to get played a week from now. So you just wonder, Michael, if he doesn't play another down this year, God, somebody should be arrested for the negligence.
Should have never been sent out on the field after he had that crunching sack. Never. Should never have been put back on the field. And they did. And then should have never played games after that if the shoulder continued to be a problem. And they kept telling him it wasn't going to get worse. You know what? It's gotten worse. Well, it's gotten worse.
Well, that's the thing is he ended up taking that hit against Kansas City.
Yep.
Now, did that irritate the original injury? Did it create another injury? It's just a bad situation, and he'll never play another game for them again. Like, if you're telling me that he doesn't play Peter the rest of the year, then that's it. It's over.
Well, here's the worst thing that could happen. They start Flacco, who looked good in the last game. They win a couple of games. They lose the first pick, and then where are you?
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, with the Jets, you can.
Well, break Darnold, and then you play Flacco enough to get wins, so you lose out on Lawrence also. I mean, that's your absolute worst-case scenario.
Well, let's not jump to conclusions here. I mean, they're still... You know, I don't think Flacco is that much of an improvement.
Played very well his last game.
I did. But he was also part of, like, some real bad football that was played when he was in there, too. I mean, I don't know, Michael. Jacksonville is making it very interesting, right? Because even though they played well against Green Bay and killed me on my two-point pick, you know, they've only got one win. They're in Pittsburgh or playing Pittsburgh next week, so they're going to lose again. So Jacksonville's really going to challenge them. To where maybe just one win could knock them out of at least Lawrence.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they can knock themselves out of the first two picks. That would be hard to do.
Well, let's talk about something positive. The New York Giants have won two in a row.
Go ahead.
They now have the most wins tied with the Eagles in the NFC East. And an impressive win all around. I mean, there's very little to actually talk badly about yesterday's game, which leads us to the Big Blue Report, brought to you by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Daniel Jones was efficient, ran the ball well. They got good running efforts by Wayne Gallman Jr. I think their defense did a good job holding the Eagles to 0-for-9 in third downs.
Crazy, right?
0-for-9. Giants hadn't done that to a team in 10 years, I believe. So 0-for-9, they did what they had to do. Their special teams, and you could see Joe Judge's pedigree coming out, really outstanding, pinning the Eagles in bad field position consistently. And Graham Gano has made them not even miss Aldrick Rojas because he's had 20 in a row, and I think 20 of 21 field goals for the Giants. And after the game, they signed into a 3-year deal. So the bottom line, that was a nice performance by the Giants. And I said this a couple of weeks ago. By the end of November, they're going to be playing in games that are important, and they are. I don't know if they're going to win. They're probably not. The Eagles will probably still win the division because they only have five losses to the Giants, seven. But the Giants are getting better every single week. I think it's a testament to Joe Judge. They play disciplined football, and I think good coaching will manifest itself in a team that gets better every single week moving forward, and they have. I think that if they played the first couple of games now, they might win a couple of them. That's how much better they are.
Yeah, well, clearly you started to see in the second half, like that familiar 14-3 becomes 14-11. You know, Boston Scott, who can't do anything against anybody in the NFL except the Giants, with the big long touchdown run. But the Giants come right back in the answer and they score. And then the Eagles come back in their second possession of the second half and score again. And you're like, oh, here we go again. The Giants just can't get rid of this team. And what does the Giant defense do? Four consecutive stops, you know, down the stretch. Do not allow the Eagles to score another point after those first two touchdowns in the third quarter. And they got the job done, even in drives, Michael, where they didn't score. You know, they're in the shadow of their own goalpost, and they drive to midfield to be able to punt and change field position. Philadelphia did not have a drive that started beyond their own 25-yard line. So the Giants swung field position. So they overcame a Slayton drop that was eerily similar to what happened a few weeks ago against Philadelphia. They come right back to him later on in the game, and he's got a big over-the-shoulder catch for 40 yards. They get Golden Tate involved as well. I mean, it's really, there's not anything to complain about. It was a good, solid win. It wasn't some fluky win against the Washington football team. It was a good, solid, complete effort on both sides of the ball that make you believe they're moving in the right direction.
I mean, let's be clear. I don't even agree with Michael's take that the Eagles are still the ones who are going to get this division. I think they stink. I mean, that team is not... This version of them, this iteration of the Eagles is not good at all. I mean, the Washington-Philly-New York combination is not winning any awards for anything. But this Giants team is steadily improving. I mean, and by the way, we said it last week, not only do you put together 2 weeks in a row, but Daniel Jones gets to put together two turnover-free games in a row. And you can start actually believing in Daniel Jones, who now has also shown that with that read option, he can just be absolutely deadly. So I think you feel there's a lot to feel good about if you're a Giants fan right now. At least they're going in the right direction. They are on the path. We talk about the Jets haven't even cleared the debris yet. The right. Giants are on the path.
Well, the reason I think the Eagles are terrible too, Peter, but the reason I think that they could end up on top is because of that tie. So if the Giants and the Eagles get six wins, the Giants are 6-10, the Eagles are 6-9-1, boom, they're in. That tie gets them in, even if it's five, as strange as that sounds. And the Giants' schedule is not very easy the rest of the way. Neither is the Eagles, because the Giants, I believe, just have one more game with a division opponent. Am I right? That would be Dallas.
Last week of the season, yeah.
That's it. So otherwise, they're playing tough teams that are over 500, I think, of their remaining. So the record's 3-7. The remaining six games, four of the teams have 6-3 records. So it's not going to be easy, but I don't think that it's impossible, because I believe that the Giants are better. I think they get better every single week. One thing, you mentioned the read option, which was a beautiful run by Daniel Jones. But watching that and watching the way the Cardinals use Kyler Murray, I don't think quarterbacks can survive on the long haul doing that. I just don't. They take too many hits. Because when you're doing the read option, you are not sliding. You're playing college football. You're a quarterback that's a running back, and you're getting hit. And I'll give you a hot take, and you might not agree with it. I don't think Kyler Murray is going to be a good quarterback in this league for 10 years, because once he loses his foot speed, you see when he stays in the pocket, balls get knocked down all the time. He's too short. And you are going to get hurt running that much. Well, he's not a big guy.
There's a couple of things at play here. I got into a little bit of back and forth on text with Chris Canty, because I was listening to the show this morning, and they were talking about Kyler Murray, you know, possibly being an MVP. And my problem with Kyler Murray is a problem that we're starting to see with Lamar Jackson. You got to be able to throw the football in this league. I'm sorry, you have to. And Kyler Murray right now leaves a little bit to be desired throwing the football. Now, he had the big pass at the end of the game.
Also.
But I watched a lot of that game because that was Michael's three-point play, right? And I've watched a lot of the Cardinal games, and I've been saying this all year, Peter, you know, where it's like there are throws where he's still learning to throw the football, but he's still so dynamic running the ball. But teams are going to figure out how to shut that down, and he's going to have to learn how to pass. So, like, at least Jones shows you that he can do it with his arm. He's got a good arm. He had big throws. And then that leads to a read option that can work. But if you think in this league that you can scramble your way to an MVP, great. Lamar Jackson did it. We saw great things early in his career from RG3. But not only are you putting yourself in peril, when defenses figure it out, can you make the throw in the pocket when you have to? Because that's good. It's going to be what wins in this league consistently.
Well, we saw it again yesterday with the Ravens. All of us said there was a reason we didn't want to touch that Patriots-Ravens game, because if you have a weakness as an offense, no one will exploit it more than Bill Belichick. And guys, the score wasn't a blowout last night. Did it ever feel like the Ravens were going to win?
No.
Patriots kind of came out today and said he thinks the Ravens are in big trouble. I mean, if he can't throw, you can stop him from running. If he can't throw, yeah. That's what happens to him in the playoffs, too. If his team falls behind, he's got to throw.
But that's what's great about Jones is that
he can throw.
The reason they can run the ball, Michael, is because you have to honor his arm. You have to honor the pass. And the Giants have enough weapons, so you can't just... You just can't stack nine men in the box and say, oh, we're going to stop the run, because he can carve you up. And this offensive line has actually done a pretty decent job of protecting him. I still don't think they're great by any stretch, but they've been creative to try to give him a little bit of time. And now he can use his legs, Michael, but it's not like that's how exclusively he gets it done. He still threw for 240 yards. He still made some big plays downfield. And then the run is something that comes from him reading defenses and saying, all right, they're taking the pass away. I can now do something. So he's not going to do it that often where he's going to get himself hurt. And you can't, even if you stopped him running the ball, he could still throw it. So I think that's the difference between him and some of these other guys in the league.
Now, look, it's funny what's happening in Philly. They're really getting after Doug Peterson. If he didn't have that Super Bowl, he'd be in trouble.
Well, he would have been gone.
You're probably right. Here's Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Phillies, and this is on WIP in Philly. And he has a heated back and forth with the host. So listen to this.
Who do you blame the most for the Eagles' 10-point loss to the Giants? 72% coaching.
Head coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Angelo. Thanks for the lead-in. I appreciate that.
I'm sorry. That was
awesome. That just puts me in a great mood today. Already in a good mood. I appreciate it.
Oh, I kind of felt you probably wouldn't be in a good mood.
I hang up now?
No, please don't, Doug.
I'm feeling my obligation right now. If I hang up, I feel my obligation.
Doug, I fully understand.
I'm pissed off, Angelo.
Well, there you have it.
Well,
one thing I got to tell you.
I think he gets it.
Quick aside, I know we're in the business of talk radio, and we've had Jet coaches on. I don't know why any coach would agree to that, unless it's a team thing. Well, you don't need the money. Well, why would you put yourself through that every single weekend? Unless you're a winning team, it's hell to go on and answer those questions.
I know.
And that was some lead-in.
But I got to tell you, I'll take that every day of the week than just the biting.
No,
your
I don't blame. I think I was good radio, but why would a coach subject himself to that?
Well, it's just, listen, there's a lot of different reasons why, Michael. Sometimes it's in the contract. Sometimes there's a monetary gain for charities and all that. So, and it's probably something that every coach believes that they're going to have a great year and it's going to be fun to go on and talk about it and give their side. I think some of them do appreciate kind of the back and forth, because just like we liked the interview, Michael, because we feel we can dive in more than we can in a press conference situation, I'm sure they feel the same way, that maybe they can give their side of the story or talk it up a little bit more. But, he's ticked off. He should be ticked off. Think about how winnable this division is going to end up being, right? Where everybody's got a shot. Right now, everybody has a shot to win this division, and the teams that don't are going to kick themselves, maybe including the Giants by the time it's all over with.
Some troubling news on Drew Brees just came in.
You can't go ahead and lose to Cincinnati now. Giants can't do that.
What's the news on Drew Brees?
He has three fractured ribs on his left side and two on his right. The two on the right occurred in the first half of the Saints' victory yesterday. The three on the left are believed to have occurred in the game against Tampa Bay last weekend. They did not show up as such on the x-ray performed at the time, possibly because of inflammation, but they were clearly seen on the CT scan performed Monday. Doctors believe the right side fractures might have punctured Brees' lung Sunday, creating a pneumothorax. Brees had difficulty breathing in the game and resulted in him informing Coach Sean Payton he could not play the second half against the 49ers.
That did not stop the Saints from easily covering and destroying R.J. Bell.
Yeah,
R.J. Bell, it's not what you want.
We're going to have a moment here, guys, seriously. Because the momentum is built really against RJ right now. Twitter's not a friendly place for him.
No.
It's not what you want.
It was a rough day.
No. And there's a lot of controversy with the picks this week. There's a lot going on there. A lot.
Well, that's a big blue report brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit Two by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, Westfield World Trade Center. I can tell you this, Don. How long has Peter been on the show? Honestly.
Well, this is a little over 4 years.
Okay. In our group text last night, which I didn't even take part in.
I think almost five.
I have never seen Peter so invested in my Bills-Cardinals pick ever. I mean, this guy really has his sights set on me. When you and I are both tied, but for some reason he thinks he could beat me, and he hated the... reason number 1,000,005 why you should never bet.
Right.
So the spread is 2.5 points.
Is it?
Well, that's what Andrew had.
But
we have to go by that sheet. Now, when I was given the picks, I was going off the sheet of the New York Post. But Andrew's sheet is the official one, 2.5 points.
So real quick, though. So, Don, even though Michael went on the air and said that his pick was at 1.5, we're giving him the 2.5?
Well, because we go by Andrew's sheet.
Even though he didn't go by Andrew's sheet, he said 1.5, went on the radio, yes, goes with 1.5. He goes with 1.5. We're giving him 2.5. Okay.
But that's what it was. Because I got to be honest, I thought I lost.
Well, you got to do a better job, Michael. Yeah,
that's. I mean, I just, you know.
Here's the worst part.
Go ahead.
So you have this Hail Mary, and then even if it's 2.5, you're done. And for some reason, they took a knee. I mean, it's the worst thing of all time.
And, you know, everybody.
That killed you, Peter. It had to kill you.
That's why I was so invested at that point.
Killed me.
I was angry.
Because I would have had the lead. And with a chance to add to the lead today with my Monday game.
All right, so Jarv is wrong. I get a check mark next to the
right,
3-point.
Right, you get a check, and that's a 3-point play, which gives you, what, 34. I'm a point behind, but I can tie tonight if Minnesota covers. So I was invested.
For the record, though, Jarv isn't wrong. He goes by what you say on the air.
No,
you said 1.5.
But he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong. That's right.
He's not wrong.
You have to look at the sheet.
I could understand the frustration, but I saw you begging Andrew on the group text, what's the deal? And Andrew goes, we go by what's on my sheet.
Right. So that's...
I feel guilty. I almost feel guilty. And if I was a better man, I'd say, listen, I'll take the loss. But I'm not.
But here's my issue, okay? Because it's a little-known codicil in the rules, since they instituted the two-point conversion, that if the extra point is blocked and returned for a touchdown by Buffalo, that would tie the score at 32 because the Bills would be awarded 2 points on that play. Although it never happens, all right? But everybody wants to pat Kingsbury on the back for forward thinking. It's a dead ball play. Just get out of there. Now that's not going to happen. But here's my argument, and see if you see where I'm going. Forget about Michael's pick, just in football terms. Put in odds of them blocking the extra point and returning it for a touchdown. Very minimal, right?
I mean, as low it never happens.
Right, it never happens.
Never.
But the half a percent chance that it could happen, it would tie the game. Now, fast forward. They do that. They've got a 2-point lead. They've got to kick off. Likely, they'll squib kick. If they do the Stanford band play, like Rutgers did the other day, and say return it to the 50, and there's a face mask that puts it at the 35. Now they kick a field goal.
The odds of that are less than the odds of the other thing.
And win the game. But here's the difference. If that were to happen, again, the odds slim to none. But if it were to happen, the field goal beats you.
Yep.
So that's my point, is that the odds might be greater that they block the extra point, but it ends up being a tie game. If you kick off and they do the Stanford band play and there's some sort of roughing penalty that it continues to play and puts it in distance where they can kick a field goal, now you lose the game.
Well, also, you've got Kyler Murray. Why don't you try for two then? What's the odds of a fumble and they're going to pick it up and scoop it?
Higher, I think, than kicking it.
I guess.
I think your best bet. Listen, we all watch football every day.
Just kick the
field goal. It's kick an extra point. Everyone
kicks it.
It was
probably a killer for you, Pete.
I was done. Did you have the same reaction? I couldn't believe it. I'm like, Michael loses on a Hail Mary. Kidding me?
It's such a devastating play. And then you see that, you know, they're going to kneel.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe
and then again,
it.
But at that point, when they knelt, you thought it was 1.5, right?
No. I thought I knew it was 2.5.
I look at the sheet. That's the Bible to me. Like, every Sunday, because I don't know, I can't retain information since the Twins. It's weird. Because it's almost like
I never remember our
like, when you play poker, Peter, how often do you look at your cards? Like, I look at them all the time. Like, 3 seconds after I put them down on the table, I got to look again. One of my cards again? I do that with the picks. All right, because now I know my picks, but I got to keep reminding me, all right, what does Peter have? What does Michael have? So I'm constantly going to the email, looking at Andrew's email with the spreads, that remember the number, who's got the 2-point play.
I do it all day.
And then I'll look at it, and then 10 minutes later, I'm like, well, I got to look at it again. I forget. So I knew it was 2.5. And the odd thing is there were so many things that happened in that game where Michael should have lost. There was the Fitzgerald pick. Did you see that?
Yeah, of course.
They're driving for at least a field goal. Then they got to review that to see if it touched the ground, which it didn't. But it's still kind of a fluky play. There's so many times the Cardinals could have put them away and didn't do it.
And then the emotions, right? Because then the unbelievable pass of Stephon Diggs, that puts them ahead. You figure the Bills win. And then, by the way, great job by Bill O'Brien. Not even getting a first-round draft pick for DeAndre Hopkins. Unbelievable. And then he outleaps three other guys. Unbelievable.
And Ian Eagle nailed it. What a great call. He's so good.
He is good.
You know what? Ian Eagle might be the most underrated.
I think you're right. In both sports, basketball and football. He's tremendous.
Get him on the show, though, on a bet.
And I respect it.
Not anymore. It's a different ownership.
I do respect.
No, I'm going to have to talk to Ian. It's a different ownership at FAN. These are not the people I brought him on.
But it's... the conviction, though, I got to admire. And for people that don't know, he started out basically as an embryo at the Fan. I mean, he was running the board at 3. All right? And he owes his career to them. He was an intern there. He was a board op, producer, worked his way up into being one of the preeminent announcers in basketball and football in this country. And he feels like he owes the Fan a lot and will not come on here to honor that. I respect it.
I don't.
I'm done respecting it.
I'm done with that. All right, it's time to give away another prize. I mean, people around the city are talking about the 20 and 20 giveaway.
Sure there.
How are these guys giving away such great gifts every day until the Wednesday before Thanksgiving? How are they doing it? Well, we're doing it because we love you. We love you, and we want to thank you for persevering through what has been an awful, awful 2020 in every sense of the word. So we want to make your day a little bit brighter, your home life a little bit brighter. So today what we're giving away is the Bartesian, a home cocktail maker that automatically draws from your chosen spirits and dispenses a premium cocktail at the touch of a button in seconds. Don would get himself an old fashioned in a moment.
I would. And Nancy would get a vodka cranberry.
Oh, delightful.
Now, let's see what our audio clue is today, because we've had countless big time stars, celebrities on the show. We've been on since when, Don?
1947.
Wow, big time guest.
Oh, yeah.
So we've taped all the interviews. So what we're doing is we're playing one of those each day, see if you know who it is. So here is today's audio clue.
It's the Michael Kay Show's 20 in 20.
You want to be confident, but you don't want to stir things up too much to get the other team going or anything like that.
I know who that is, too.
Very hard today, very hard. I don't know who that is.
Interesting.
You don't know.
I know what Don's doing.
I think Andrew's done a tremendous job.
You know what Don's doing, Peter?
He's supporting his guy. Yeah.
No. We all got scolded by the pinhead executives at the station. Well, don't talk about how hard it is. Talk about how great the gifts are. Okay. That was very difficult.
I don't know how anybody's
going to
get that. Hold on. But now you're being a jerk for no reason.
Why?
Exactly.
Because that wasn't easy.
I'm not saying it's easy.
Yeah, I don't know.
It is.
Well, there you go.
It's not as easy as Walt Frazier. All I know is the gift is great. That's the point.
Exactly. Our pinhead executives are right in this case.
Oh, really? Suck
yes.
It.
Really?
What are you, the kicker for the Saints?
I support the executives in this case. I do. I'm with them.
Is that who the kicker is? Suck up?
Ryan Suckup?
Yeah, who's
he's still
with
Kansas
Bucks,
City?
The Bucks, I'm sorry.
He's been everywhere.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We got a full show. a Zoftik show.
Oh, sure.
A king-size show.
Yeah, just that. Well, don't call in yet with the guests because we play the clue again. Then toward the end of the hour, you get a chance in the 5 o'clock hour. You see what we're giving away tomorrow. Oh, also, have Steve Young on.
Oh, sure.
How about that?
Love it.
Number one guest in the history of the show.
Number two.
Bumble. Now, who was great last week that we said made a move? Oh, Stephen A. Yeah. That's the holy trinity right there, those three.
And I'll tell you what, say what you want. I thought the week before that, I thought Ryan Clark was
Ryan Clark is very good.
No, he's a distant fourth. He's not in the top three.
No, well, he's
new. He's a kid. He's a rookie.
Yeah. I get it. Right now, trending would be Young, Passan, and Smith.
I like Clark.
So Van
right
Gundy
there.
Is falling off here?
He's fifth right now.
Wow.
He's fifth. All right, so let's towel off. We got a lot to do. We'll take some phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. If you just joined us, Giants with a big win. Jets have announced that Sam Darnold will not play this weekend. It will be Joe Flacco. So even after a bye week, they were not able to get him right, which is somewhat concerning. We'll talk about all of that and more. Kay LeGreco, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We've got some other stories that we'll get to and we're working on. Kristaps Porzingis, knee problems, going to miss the start of the season for the Mavericks.
Oh, Porzingis.
Come back in January. The NCAA is in talks to hold their entire NCAA March Madness in Indianapolis. They're going to bubble all the teams,
okay. And
they'll play at different venues, and then the big Final Four will be in the Dome. Chris Paul essentially has been traded to the Thunder,
Ooh. Teaming
up with Devin Booker. The Suns, I'm sorry. What did I say?
The Thunder.
He's traded from the Thunder to the Suns.
There you go.
Several different reports out there that Harden wants to be traded and is looking increasingly likely it could be the Nets.
How great would that be? Just for us. Like, I don't know if it'll work.
No, I know it won't.
It's a super team.
It would be a super team.
It would be a super team.
It would be the Miami Heat.
I'll tell you what, Jim Harden coming here would be such a mistake.
For Jim or for the Nets?
Everybody. There's just not enough balls.
Excuse me?
There's not... I'm RJ. You make me sick. There's just not enough balls to go around.
Again? What? Right.
But he
made it better, Don.
The idea that you would move on from Caris LeVert and, you know, basically all the other players that have made this team good, get rid of all of them to just load up with a random super team. I'm sorry. Right. I know people are going to want it and they're going to be excited. Me personally, makes me sick. I mean, I'm sorry. Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert, this is the reason there's any excitement around this team that existed while Kyrie sat out the entire year. And
so
KD
what would you rather them be, the little engine that could or a potential powerhouse that's going to the finals?
If you're still the little engine that could with KD, Kyrie, and everyone else they have, you don't deserve anything. You need every superstar in the league to compete. Kyrie and KD isn't enough.
But you're missing my point. Is like, yeah, it probably doesn't work. Like, if it works, great. Then we're going to have a team in New York that's going to run for a championship and be great. And if it doesn't work, that makes for tremendous conversation, too, because it would be one of the biggest dumpster fires in the history of sports.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you from a radio standpoint. But I just mean from a fan standpoint.
Like, I bet you most fans would try to fight through that.
I'm sure they would. But guess what? I'm telling you, it's still not going to work. There's no world to me in which there's enough shots for James Harden, Kevin Durant. I just do not see it.
And Kyrie.
I already ruled out Kyrie getting shots. And we don't know how that's going to look. I don't even know that Kyrie and KD can get along. You're adding in Jimbo? And am I the only guy in the world who, like, has some feeling about the fact they've built Caris LeVert into, like, this quality player? Mm-hmm. And it's like, get rid of him. We need a full-blown star.
No, okay, so they built him up to the point that he could get James Harden back in a trade.
But to me, you're better off with a LeVert as your third player than having the three stars. It's just, there's not enough.
But I think it'd be better if they got Ibaka, who I know Durant is trying to recruit. That would be
appealing.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have to get rid of the entire team to get him.
I just think what you do is you tell the three of them, listen, two of you are going to take shots today, and the other one's going to get a chance to coach the team, and we'll rotate.
Now, that will work, Don. That might be the only way it can work.
Now, another story that's troubling, because there's no real answer for it. All charges have been dropped against the former Giant cornerback DeAndre Baker. All of them. So he was being prosecuted on 4 counts of robbery with a firearm. He was originally charged with 4 counts of armed robbery and 4 counts of aggravated assault with a firearm. But the final straw in the case appeared to be a South Florida attorney being arrested early Monday morning for attempting to extort Baker on behalf of 3 of the alleged victims.
Wow.
So William Dean, who's 50, was looking for Baker to pay more than $266,000 to each of his clients, who in turn would do anything you want so long as the money is right. So let's say that none of this was true, that people were trying to extort money out of him. He essentially lost his career for nothing. But then if the Giants had done nothing, they would have been criticized for that.
Well, that's what happens, right? Because we saw this with the Giants. When Josh Brown, when the allegations first started to come down with his wife, right, they were willing to kind of hang with him, you know, to try to like support him through the troubles they were going through. And then it just got too hot that they had to drop him. Well, so that's a case of them sticking too long. With Baker, if they stuck with him, if they did the same thing and these allegations turned out to be true, the Giants would be eviscerated. So they cut bait when everybody expected him to. Now it could turn out that he's actually never did anything wrong, and now you're going to kill him for cutting loose too early? You can't win.
You can't win.
So you try to show support, forget it, because then the heat will just get way too hot, and you'll look like a garbage organization. You cut bait too soon, and then you have a situation where maybe he's completely innocent of the charges.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Dennis in Huntington. Start it off, Denny. Dende.
Okay.
How you doing?
Don't hang up on me. I just wanted to get your guys' take, because you guys had this guy on your show in studio for 2 hours, and I saw his documentary last night. Carton.
What are you asking us about Carton for?
Well, you guys brought him on the show, and right. You know, talked to him for like an hour and a half. He just came out.
It was an hour, but what's your point?
It's 2 years. I think he's asking about the doc.
I just wanted to see if you guys have changed your mind. Do you guys have any different opinion on him? Like, did you watch the documentary?
Of course I watched the documentary. My opinion is everybody deserves a second chance. He served the time that the courts gave him. And he has every right to have a second chance. Good for him.
So you thought we had him on the show because we were throwing support his way? We had him on the show to give his side, to give his story. We were, at least I was, and I don't think Michael and Peter were either, siding with Carton and putting him on. I didn't know what was right and what wasn't. I was curious. We put him on the air. It wasn't like I was sticking my flag anywhere. Were you?
No, I mean, we had Jim Dolan on. We didn't agree with what he did to those fans. You have somebody on because that's the story.
And to be honest with you, I still don't know. You know, there's part of me that thinks he's a really bad guy. There's part of me that thinks, all right, he had some issues. I don't know. I was hoping I'd get some clarity from the interview. I'm not really sure I did. Maybe some people did. It was just we gave him a chance.
I haven't watched the doc. I've been too caught up in a show about that sex cult from the from 5 years ago.
Interesting.
You haven't watched The Vow?
No.
Oh, there's a lot going on out here, guys. A lot going on.
Well, let's give you a reminder.
Okay. That was a great place to start, by the way. First call of the week. Crazy.
And you know what? I guess he thought he was being cute because he told Andrew he wanted to say that Daniel Jones was better than Eli Manning, which I thought would really set off a Don rant. Instead, he starts asking about an interview that we did 2 years ago. I remember I was in Houston. Yeah. So it had to be 2 years ago because I didn't travel this year.
No, it was definitely 2 years ago. Yeah. And again, it was right before he
went to jail.
I never met the guy. I Michael had. Peter had his issues with him. But we figure, hey, it's a great story. Let's get him on to give his side of the story. We never were taking sides.
You know, we're giving away the Bartesian, right?
Sure.
The home cocktail maker that automatically draws from your chosen spirits and dispenses a premium cocktail at the touch of a button in just seconds.
So I don't have to measure anything?
No, Don, right? Nothing.
I got all this stuff. Tremendous. I don't know how to make it.
Your fat hands are taken out of the equation.
So all I have to do is go out and get the ingredients for an old-fashioned. And then this thing will make the old-fashioned.
Yes. Right, it's like you're a little mechanical bartender in your home.
Awesome.
Here is the audio clue that can get you that prize.
It's the Michael K. Show's 20 in 20.
You want to be confident, but you don't want to stir things up too much to get the other team going or anything like that.
Andrew, what a job. 1-800-919-3776. Don't call yet. We'll tell you when you can call to win that. We'll take more of your phone calls on everything that's going on in sports. Busy sports day as we start another week on the show. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My love. Welcome back to the Michael K. Show. Steve Young, a little bit later on in the show, talk about the entire weekend in football and tonight's Monday Nighter, the Vikings and the Bears. Well, let's take some more phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. Always adding a lot of energy to the show. Let's go to Tessa in West Caldwell. Tessa.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. That first caller was weird. I'm like, why do I have to follow him? But it's okay. I just wanted to first start off by just saying I just recently had, like, a small knee procedure. That's the worst time to watch sports. I jumped up so many times and, like, hurt my knee again. It was crazy. I was asleep this morning. I couldn't even call an Alan and Bart show because, you know, my knee was bothering, so I'm glad I got to call you guys. So before I make a point on the Giants, I just wanted to make a point real quick on the Arizona game. But two games this year have just really blew my mind. When they played Miami, when Arizona played Miami, I just was like, this game is crazy. This game is awesome. And then last night's game, that when Stephon Diggs caught that ball, it was like, oh, this is why they paid him. I'm like, yeah, that is why they paid you, because that was crazy. You just caught that on Peters. That was insane. And then that Hail Mary catch, it just brought me back to when Hakeem Nicks caught the ball halftime before the Green Bay game. It was like, all you see was his big gloves coming up. It's like, I knew he was about to catch that ball. That game was exciting. I do agree with Don a little bit as far as, like, when you know, how is he going to be in the pocket? But for right now, if we can get a decade out of him doing what Murray's doing, then I'm going to take that. You know, I never want to take away from what they're good at, and this is what he's good at. Russell's been doing a good job, and that's what Russell's doing. So I think these type of QBs can last about 10 to 15 years if they put the money in their body and they do what they have to do off the field. But that game
Russell
was amazing.
Does throw the ball a lot better than
so far.
Kyler.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, Kyler 2 years in, so Lamar, they might can get there. But back on the Giants, I just want to say, like, you know, I haven't felt this good, like, since we was 0-6. And then, remember, Don, we won, like, about, what, 3 or 4 in a row, and it was like, oh, we can make the playoffs. That's how I feel right now. Remember, I told you with the Daniel Jones a couple weeks ago when you guys let me black out a couple weeks ago. I told you, I didn't leave the station with Daniel Jones. I just was off the train. I was sitting down now on the bench. But I never left the station. You know, so this is great what he's doing, but we want to make sure you can do this when you do get a turnover. We want to make sure you're still going to have the confidence and ability to come back when you do make a turnover. But I was happy how he was holding that ball high and tight, running to the he's improving. But the defense, they were balling yesterday. They were bending, they wasn't breaking, and that's, to me, that's why we're on the right direction and the arrow's pointing so up to the sky. Guys are the limits, because I'm so happy the way Patrick Graham is coaching his defense. I'm happy about everything. And I do feel like it is a chance for us. I know what Michael's saying about that tie, but I do feel like it's a chance for us. I'm just taking one game at a time. I'm not saying we're going to win a division, none of that. But right now, the way we're playing, we're looking so positive, and we're looking like next year we're going to be a serious problem. And this year, we might dust up and make a little noise. But I was just happy all around yesterday, all around. Philly had all their weapons back, and we still did what we should have did to them 3 weeks ago. We beat them. So I'm just happy, guys. I'm really, really happy.
I want to ask you something. Have you ever thought about getting into sports talk radio?
Oh, my God. You know what? Alan and Bart asked me the same thing. My mother said the same thing, too. I would love to do that. I'm a therapist now, but sometimes I feel like once my daughter go to college, I think I would. Right. Listen, God.
I'm telling you what. You have the energy, and you make your points. You obviously know the sports.
Do we have this conversation with each other, or did I have it separately with Ryan?
Not with me, no. Said the same thing?
I texted Ryan. Tess, after our call last week, I tested Ryan. I'm like, yo, I think she may be the female Joe Beningo, the person who goes from caller to sports talk show host. Absolutely.
I would definitely do it, guys, but I got to get on social media first. Alan is always getting on me because my job, you know, they check that stuff like every 6 months because, you know, we work with patients and stuff. But I do have to get on social media so I can start getting a following. But I would love to do what you guys do. I would love it.
But being
I love
a psychologist,
sports,
that's kind
I love
of what...
It.
This is about it's talking to people and hearing their problems. That's kind of what being a talk show host is. And you're right about Daniel Jones. But I think he proved he could overcome the turnover by driving the field the way he did against the Buccaneers. I just wanted to see him stop. Right? It's nice to see two straight weeks of not turning the ball over, not making that dumb mistake. Like, so you know he's capable of it. Because I don't know how you guys felt. I feel he can make the throws.
He's a better thrower mistakes. Than the other guys that run. It worries me, though. 6 foot 5 inch guy running. He's got a lot of body to hit. A lot of body to hit. But, you know, he's really good with his own read. Even that touchdown run that he had done, he had a stutter step there. It was not an easy run.
No, that was he did a great job. But there was to your point, there was a play later on in the game near the goal line where he really took a smack at around the 5 yard line.
Yep.
Those are the things you got to be careful of. But. You know, it's okay to take a shot every once in a while, but if you're taking 5-6 shots a game, then
right because Aaron Rodgers takes a shot every once in a while. He runs, but he doesn't. They don't design that many runs for him. He's not a running quarterback.
Right.
He's just a quarterback that can run. But if Daniel's going to run like Kyler Murray, I don't know if Kyler Murray has 10 years in him, and you know I think he's going to learn to throw the ball better, but he's too short. When he stayed in the pocket on the last two drives, he had two balls just batted down decisively.
Yeah.
He's really short. But Steve Young doesn't seem to think that matters.
Well, it didn't hurt Drew Brees at all.
I think he's shorter than Drew Brees.
He might be.
It's time for 98.7's 20 and 20 contest. If you've been listening to today's show, you've heard a clip from one of the many stars who've joined the Michael K. Show over the years. Now we're going to line up callers, and you'll have one try to guess the K. Show celebrity for your chance to win big. So if you think you know who we featured in today's clip, call us at 1-800-919-ESPN for your chance to win today's 20 and 20 prize, the Bartesian, a home cocktail maker that automatically draws from your chosen spirits and dispenses a premium cocktail at the touch of a button in seconds. It's 98.7 ESPN's 20 and 20 contest, and it's brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, and the Bartesian. Premium cocktails on demand. A lot of people, by the way, raving about Peter's boxing show on Saturday. Raving.
Is that true?
Oh. Amazing.
I'm actually didn't know that, but I'm seeing a lot of people raving about my take on the Nets, but I think it's the obvious take. I don't think I'm reinventing anything here.
But like, the praise even amongst us on the thread, I had a great suggestion.
What?
I think I made the quintessential point on our text thread over the weekend.
Oh, I think we should let Peter talk more on this show.
Well, I just said I think we should use him more on the K show if he's
like
this
I
good.
But I didn't know if that was a knock on you guys or myself.
No, I think it was a knock on me, number one. But then I turned it into a knock on you.
Perfect.
Because if you are interested in all the stuff we'd say, obviously you'd be involved more.
But also, it's a different vehicle. You know, it's a different spot having your own show and talking about a specific thing. I mean, I don't really have a desire to do much more on this show. I think people get just enough of me. If I was to give them more, the people who hate me would really check out.
I hate you.
See? And what about those guys? You know?
Why do you have this guy Rosenberg on the show?
See?
All good points. Let's go to Brian, and this is not for the contest.
No.
He wants to ask the question. Brian in Barnegat, New Jersey. What's up?
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Brian?
Good. I have a giant point, and then I have a Peter point, guys.
A Peter point, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So for the giant point, I kind of disagree with Tessa. I think they need to make the playoffs right here and now, or Joe Judge, sorry, Michael, is going to be on the hot seat for what? Next year.
Why would he be on the hot seat?
Ridiculous. Goodbye.
Why would he be on the hot seat?
Because the NFL is not patient anymore.
Oh, really? How's it working out for Adam Gase?
Yeah, it's true.
You don't see any improvement in the Giants from the last couple of years, coaches that did not coach well. You don't see discipline on the team, how they've increasingly got better and better. He's not going to be on any hot seat if he doesn't make the playoffs. He doesn't deserve to be on a hot seat. He's done a great job, not a good one, a great job. And there's nothing about that team that knocks your socks off, but there's also nothing about that team that you go, wow, that's terrible.
Well, here's why we got to kind of cool the Jets on them winning this division, okay? Because you take a look at their last six games. I don't have them in order. I mean, coming out of the bye, they play Cincinnati. Cleveland, Seattle, Arizona, Baltimore, they close with Dallas, okay? When you look at first blush here, guys, you would say that, you know, the Cincinnati game and the Dallas games are games that they should win. But Cleveland, Seattle, Arizona, Baltimore, you could play your brains out and still lose those games.
They should beat Cleveland. The way Cleveland's playing, I think they should
beat
Cleveland.
I know, but Cleveland's still, you know, they're 6-3.
They're winning games.
What I'm saying is that you don't want to lose this division because you lost to Cincinnati. You don't want to lose this division because you win an in-scenario against Dallas on Week 17 and lose that game. You don't want to have that happen. But if you beat Cincinnati, you beat Cleveland, and say you get a game against Dallas, and you lose to Seattle, Arizona, and Baltimore, and it's not enough, I'm not going to kill them for that. Right? I mean, that's a tough spot. They win three more games, and they finish 6-10, and they don't lose any games in the second half of the season that they should win. I don't think you could, certainly not firing the coach over it. You'll only be disappointed, guys, if they miss the playoffs because there was a winnable game that they lost. You lose to Cincinnati, you can get on them. The way they're playing right now, there's no reason to lose to Cincinnati. You lose to Cincinnati and that's a game that we say cost you the division, then you can rip them. But a loss to Baltimore, Arizona, Seattle? No.
I got to say, I mean, even Cincinnati, with where the Giants are right now, it's not like I think they absolutely should beat Cincinnati. Now, if they lost it, stupid. If they lost it when they should win. If they simply get into a game with Cincinnati, they both play well, and they lose, it's not like I think the Giants are 10 points better than the Bengals.
I
got to
look at it. I'm just saying that if
it's about how they lose. At this point, there's no way, and I'm an objective Giants fan, you cannot watch them week to week and tell me you're not seeing an improvement. This is a team that is more disciplined.
Right.
Daniel Jones is playing better. I mean, Ingram still has his moments. By the way, did you guys love the irony of Evan Ingram making by far the best catch he's ever made in the NFL and he was 2 feet out of bounds?
I know, right?
I mean, did you see that gorgeous one-handed grab?
He has responded since that drop.
Yeah. Yes, he had another terrible one, but he has been better.
No, listen, but I think overall he's played better since that drop.
All right, let's go to the contest, see if we have a winner. Let's go to Mike in New York City. Who was the VIP voice?
Hi, guys. Hey. I'm just going to throw it out there. I think I heard Marty Ryan, possibly.
Who?
Marty Ryan.
Marty Ryan.
No. Marty Ryan.
I believe that's a mix of Marty Lyons and Rex Ryan.
Well, both would be wrong.
We've never had a Marty Lyons that didn't exist.
Let's go to Thomas in Sayville. Thomas.
How's it going?
Good. You tell me who that celebrity voice was.
I think it's Henrik Lundqvist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You like your cocktails, Thomas?
I'm going to give it to my parents for Christmas, I think.
Ah, beautiful. Oh, so you saved yourself a gift. Beautiful.
Regifting is always cool.
Regifting, I'm very much in line with that. So congratulations, Thomas.
Thank you.
Have a great day and tell everybody you love us.
All right. Good night. Love the show.
Thank you so much.
That was a nice poll.
I think you'd say that was effusive, I think. Am I right?
Yeah.
Was that fall under effusive? All right, so we got a lot of stuff to do.
The first guest, that was...
We talked to you about the, Scott Van Pelt calls it bad beats.
Yep. Oh, my God.
There was a bad beat yesterday. Forget about the Phoenix game. There was a bad beat that... If you had bet this, you want to pull your hair out.
So, I know where you're going.
Oh, you know. Of course, because you do your homework. That'll come up in just a moment after you towel off. We'll be back. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes or 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Michael K. Show.
The Giants are getting better every single week.
Jones on the keep. And Daniel Jones showing his legs, showing his speed, and Jones into the end zone for the touchdown.
Daniel Jones was efficient, ran the ball well.
Felt good to get in the end zone, and great job blocking it up.
So the bottom line, that was a nice performance by the Giants.
We're not so much trying to show everybody what we are. We just know what we are, and we're just doing it as a team.
They are on the path. We talk about the Jets haven't even cleared the debris yet. The right. Giants are on the path.
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Michael K. Show. One quick piggyback on our celebrity voice today, Henrik Lundqvist, in an interview, I believe, with a newspaper in Sweden, said that he expects to make a return to the Rangers in some capacity after he retires. Quote, I'll be a part of the Rangers for the rest of my life in one way or another. Oh. Both I and the Rangers have been clear about that. That's how it will be.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
I'll find something for him to do, for sure.
And what the role is, he said, it will be the role they want it to be. I don't know if the role will be small or if there will be something more. It is further ahead. It's all about timing. It's just not now. I feel that I will somehow be connected to Rangers forever after so many years and all the people I got to know in the club from the owner on down. Good guy.
See, this is what tells you is he was so compelled to stay, to finish his career as a Ranger, but the drive to continue to play was just too strong. You know? So he's going to play in Washington.
And it makes sense. He's a young man.
Yeah, but yeah, I always think about what, you know, Brett Favre said. What was it Phil Simms said about Brett Favre and what David Cohn said about you got to tear the uniform off me. You would think that's the way we'd be, right? Just if you think he could still play, don't you have to honor that more than anything else?
Yes.
People will forget that he spent 1 year in Washington. Does anybody care that Brodeur played 1 year in St. Louis?
Bothers me.
Now, if he wins a, cup in Washington, that can affect things a bit.
In what way?
No, it doesn't affect Ray Bourque.
No, I don't mean that it won't make him welcome in New York, but I mean you said, will anyone remember? Yeah, they'll remember if you win a cup. You're part of history then.
Yeah, I know.
But it won't affect your ability to come back.
Right.
I mean, listen, how do we think of Darrell Revis? He's a Jet. I don't think anyone thinks like, oh, he's kind of a patriot. No, he's a Jet.
Well, if you're a Jet, you're a Jet all the way.
Right, from your first cigarette to your last dying day.
That's right. Well, look at you.
That's a great job, Peter.
Look at you. Now, a lot of people are wondering, why is Mike wearing a shirt and tie?
Michael, why are you wearing a shirt and tie?
I'm going to tell you. Right after this show on Yes, we have a super special first hot stove show of the season. Luke Voigt's going to be a special guest. Buck Showalter, the whole gang. So I'm going to be on that show. I'll throw on a sport coat, and it's going to look dandy. I just wanted to tell you that.
Well, let me tell you about this hot stove show on the Yes
Smoke Show.
It may have Luke Voigt, but it won't be lukewarm.
No.
It's
going to
be scorching, scorching hot.
The Yankees are doing a hot stove show, Peter. Mm-hmm. But what about the team in town that's actually going to spend some money?
Whoa.
Now, you don't know what the Yankees are going to spend,
do you? Well, they're not going to spend what old Daddy Warbucks is spending in Queens.
Yeah, right?
Well, they spent that last year on Garrett Cole.
That's a great point by you.
Fair point. My God. You hear how defensive Peter?
I know.
Just throw out a little gag.
Joke.
A little tiny voice way out in the distance. Finally has a chance to chirp something, and boy, woo!
You had to get stomped out.
So, the Cleveland Browns are leading the Texans 10-7. The spread, Browns 3.5-point favorites. So they're trying to run out the clock.
Oh, this is beautiful.
They hand the ball off to newly activated Nick Chubb. Breaks free. Running untouched. Hair blowing in the wind underneath the helmet. And he remembers that Baker Mayfield, who lives at that stadium, don't score. We want to run out the clock. He stops at the 1 yard line and runs out of bounds.
Beautiful.
Now, it wasn't beautiful for those that gave the 3.5 points.
No, it was awful. It was a nightmare. I mean, you could argue between that and the Arizona Cardinals' decision to kneel on an extra point.
It's one of the worst moments of the year for you. And this has been an awful year.
Well, but those two are almost the same thing. I mean, a wide...
I think the Arizona Cardinals thing is a coach being a bit too cute.
Yeah, I mean, because I honestly, that one may be worse. Because in the case of Chubb, he's actually just doing what everyone says a running back's supposed to do, but we're not accustomed to seeing anyone have that discipline. But the other one, the Cardinals kneel down on an extra point. It's out of this world.
You would have gained 3 points on me.
Oh, and I mean, I nailed. Let's just be honest, guys.
Oh, the Giant pick was a beautiful pick.
It was a beautiful pick. It was never
questioned.
Did you pick
it because Incarcerated Bob picked it?
No, I liked it. Don, you remember, I liked them all week. I was leaning Giants all week, and it was a beautiful pick. And I got to tell you, Miami was a beautiful, easy pick for me. And then I thought Michael's going to lose this 3-point game, and
you can't bet. You're nuts if you bet.
A lot of people are saying that Peter's going to be the dark horse here, that he's playing possum. He's going to make a big run. They feel a big run for
Peter.
Well,
listen, he could make a run. He's not playing possum.
You don't think he's
not doing
the
rope-a-dope?
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. And I mean, honestly, if I did, it's already over. My horrible. It's basically Don said it. No one stays horrible or hot forever.
Please stop showing the jar from Oz slate because I won the game. The 3-point pick.
We got it. Well, but remember, yes is part of your problem, Michael.
Why is that?
Well, both yes and Jarve reported because you said on the air that you had the Bills at 1.5. So, yes, and Jarve went with that 1.5.
Don, do you want to help me out here, or do you want to play a game? What do we go by?
We go by Andrew's spread.
Bad that I did not look at the sheet. I looked at the post.
Because that's what happens, because now false information was put out there. Now, we got it corrected inside. But, you know, fans want to follow along, and Jarve does a great job, and he's going by what you said on the air.
I think Jarve's a big part of our pick segment.
The only people that have access to these spreads are the ones that, early Friday when he does the spreads. Because sometimes they change. He gives them to us for the RJ spot on Thursday, and then he resends them on Friday. So sometimes they change, and that Friday spread is what we go on.
Now, real quick, is Andrew available? Andrew, you're in the studio, aren't you?
Sure. Yeah, right here.
I mean, is there anything you want to say to Michael about what happened on Friday?
I just don't understand why this keeps happening. Mm. It seems
I got a lot of moving parts I'm trying to make work at all at the same time. Okay, I've got devices. I can't call up everything.
No, but this seems like it's taking some of that, like some of those moving parts out of your hands. It's being sent to you. You don't have to go searching for it. What is it you use? The New York Post. I'm trying to make it as easy for you as possible.
Well, but I understand. But you also send me 6 different things, and I don't have the wherewithal to download and print it all out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you make your picks. Now, what we're asking you to do, Michael, is when you make your picks, you make the picks off of the spreadsheet that is sent by Andrew.
Peter, would you feel better if I said I don't want the 3 points? Would that make you feel better?
Because I don't think it deserves to be forfeited. We're just saying that it's not. You make all these excuses. It's a bad job. Just be better. Just be better.
No, I agree with Don. The answer is just be better. However, Don, you would agree if you and I wanted to be jerks, there's an argument to be made that by Michael declaring the line at 1.5 on the air on Friday, and that then being a loss, we could argue he should lose. But that was not the line, and I agree with Don. Simply be better. We expect more of you.
Yes.
I've got to read you some of the stuff that Peter had. Ready? You ready for this?
All right, go ahead.
I'm so mad that K won that I didn't even enjoy it. I wish it came back on a false start. Arizona tried so hard to lose that game. And then, about an hour later, he writes, wait, did Michael have the Bills at 1.5 or 2.5? Jarvis ain't 1.5. This is very important. And then Gunling writes back, use the sheet I send. It was 2.5 for us. And Peter goes, yes, it was. Jarve had it wrong. Got my hopes up. What is wrong with you?
But then I texted Don on the side, too. And I said, you know what? Now I'm hearing that Jarve has listened to the audio, and Michael, in fact, said 1.5. And the controversy raged on.
Just be better, Michael. And I don't blame Jarv. Jarv, that's all Jarv
I'm
has to go on.
Jarv,
Jarv doesn't get the emails from Andrew. Maybe he started. Can you get Jarv's email? Maybe you should send him the spreads at a time. Guy does so much work for us. I actually go to that sometimes.
I go to it all the time. You know what? I take a screenshot of it, and then I look at it.
Well, if you looked at that, then you would have thought you had 1 point this week. Instead, you have four. Just a total ripoff. Ugh.
A ripoff of whom? You? You're not catching me.
Really, the loser is the audience. Because they want to follow. And can we please come up with some sort of punishment? By now, it's ridiculous. Because now it's tainted. Because poor Peter's in last place. When is he going to be motivated to choose whatever the punishment is?
How about if either you or I lose, we have to get a crew cut. And if Peter loses, he has to grow his hair out like Gallagher.
Like Gallagher.
It'll be a long process for him.
I know. He'll look
again,
like
this
Bozo,
is what I want. I don't care because I'll be so happy to be out in public when this pandemic is finally over. Our first public appearance. I'm telling you, get a pitching machine of tennis balls and fire them at my back.
Ten of them, right in my back.
That's my punishment.
You know why he keeps bringing this up, Peter? He's a sadomasochist.
I want to show you that I'm not scared. I want to come up with something. Now, I'll have a belt to protect the kidneys and a helmet to protect the head. But otherwise, fire away. Let's do something. Let's do something that people can get behind. You don't think there'll be a crowd of people watching that?
You're not going to lose. Peter's going to lose.
What's Peter going to be motivated to do? Pie in the face?
We waited too long.
This is your show. It's the Michael K. Show. You should have came up with something earlier. Bad job. That's the second time you've done a bad job.
This is Andrew. He's the producer of the show.
I try every day.
You're the driving force of this show. Everything good about this show is through you.
That's true. And it is me.
For the record, you're sitting here spiking the ball on my head. We still have 7 weeks of regular season.
No. I'm not counting you out.
No, not you, Don. Not you, Don.
Somebody has to be in last place. What motivation would it be for anyone?
No, not a lot. But Michael's spiking the ball on my head while he clings to his lead.
Cling?
We have like 10 weeks left to play. You're up 8
That's
points.
That's 60 points to play with.
You're up 8 points after your cheating three-pointer yesterday. You're up 8 on me. And again, if my allocation's better, I could have already surpassed you.
If my aunt had hair on her back, she'd be my uncle. Who cares if?
I vote against the points next year. I'm done with the points.
The points saved you this week, Don.
But that just shows you that I'm just true to my word here. That it should just be our record, the allocation of points. I'm trying to pick football games. I got an idea.
But the points do serve a purpose. It's about your conviction that the Giants
conviction
game was
in which most of the time we have zero on all our picks.
I had the most conviction about the Giants. It was my 3-point game. Now often I get that wrong. Michael had a lot of conviction about the Bills. He somehow managed to get it right.
And how come we're not talking about the elephant in the room, the continued losing streak of R.J. Bell?
That's the biggest story here.
Because one thing he always falls back on. Well, I'm still at 55%. Well, now you're not, bud. Now you're not.
And now the court of public opinion has swung so far behind him now that he's done.
I don't know
how he comes back.
I know how he comes back. It'll have to be really putting together an incredible second half because he's at 5-5 overall.
That's not 55%.
And wait, is it?
It's five out of six. He's lost
5 out of 6 weeks. He's lost.
Mm-hmm. That's not what you want.
DCR is done with him.
Is that true?
Yeah, they're upset.
Oh, he's giving them bad picks, too?
Yeah.
I mean, Incarcerated Bob, though, in with his second in a row, 2-0.
I think it's entertaining radio to have him continue to pick losing games. Let's go to Jorge in California. Jorge.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. So I called a lot during the bubble. Talk about the Nets. I'm a diehard Nets fan. You are the reason I listen to the show every single day. I used to listen before, but I came on board fully when you came over.
But now you're
really
going to crush me.
Is that true?
No, I'm a diehard Yankees fan, Michael. So I used to listen to you all the time, but I'm a big Peter fan.
Okay.
So he made me stay on full time. Don, I love you as well.
But if you had to rate the three of us, Peter would be a top, right?
I love all you guys. So the Nets. So the Nets are having a great offseason. They just made a trade with the Pistons. Got this third-year player who's going to help us on our deck. I forget his name. I'm not going to lie. I think Brown. But we traded away Musa, who was a young player that wasn't doing well for us.
And they got a second-round pick as well.
A second-round pick next year, yes. Now, all indications are that Ibaka wants to come sign with us for the mid-level extension, and that would be a great pickup. Now, I really believe that if we get James Harden, nobody's going to stop us. But Peter, as a diehard Boston fan, will not admit that because he knows that if the Nets get Harden, he's done for. Why would you even watch the season? Boston's not going to go anywhere. The Nets are obviously going to the finals.
What?
So, Peter, I think you're taking so bad because they're so scared that Harden.
I love you. You're a supporter of mine.
I'm not going nowhere.
I love you. You're a rosebud. I appreciate you. But this is a horrible take by you. This is a horrible... No, this is a horrible take. First of all, let me be clear.
Rosebud.
I'll call every week. I'll call you every week.
Please, call every week.
And remind you.
Call every week. Assuming the Celtics do not, for some reason, lose Jason Tatum or Jalen Brown, no matter what anyone does in the East, the Celtics are second or third. I'm good with that. I feel so good about the... Let me tell you, when you have a stable, great head coach, and you've gotten away from toxic players who are bad in the locker room, I'm not worried about the Celtics. They will be good. I truly, truly believe that the Nets will already have a lot of question marks about just how KD and Kyrie function on this team. Then you have the fact that they have a head coach who's never coached professional basketball before. Great player, all-time great, never coached a professional game. That guy is the guy who's going to keep order over this locker room. On top of that, now you're talking about bringing in a guy. I don't know if you guys have noticed. I love Jim Harden. We as fans love Jim Harden. Doesn't seem like players love to play with Jim Harden. So are we? You really think there's enough basketballs for James Harden, KD, and Kyrie, who's a ball-dominant point guard? It's not even someone tried to compare it to the Celtics, the big three of the Celtics. Do you realize the big three of the Celtics, the only ball-dominant player was Paul Pierce? KG didn't need the ball in his hands, and neither did Ray Allen. It's a totally different circumstance.
And also one added factor, Mike D'Antoni is an assistant with the Nets now. He left because he couldn't deal with James Harden. He left the Rocket job because he couldn't deal with James Harden and Westbrook. It would be, but I agree with Don, it would be fascinating. Fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I'm going by.
But. And I'd love to be wrong. It'd be fun if the Nets... Trust me, as big a Celtics fan as I am, trust me, I would love for the Nets to be 62-20 next year, and we have something to talk about every day. Basketball has been torture since I started on the show 5 years ago. So I would love to have... And we're on, yes. I would love for the Nets to be great. But don't tell me that there's not the potential for disaster when you create this new big three. That's a lot of shots between Harden, KD, and Kyrie.
Dave in Queens. Dave?
Guys, man, I think a lot often about what to make your punishment for losing, and I'm out here thinking. I know it's tight. I'm suggesting fake tattoo on Peter. Like, you know, Pete, you like the hip-hop world. They have tattoos on their neck and all that. Why don't you just do a temp tattoo?
Temp tattoo?
Wait, temp tattoo for 6 months?
They have them out there. You can look up 3 months. They have them out there that last. They claim to last 6 months. Sometimes some of them. There's companies out there. Maybe you can get a sponsor. You know,
that would
be in the hip hop world with a tattoo on your neck.
You know what? It's not a horrible idea. I don't want to do it, which is probably makes it not a bad idea. I'm good.
See, now, if the temp or the hemp tattoo lasts 6 months, right? And then, God forbid, you die within those 6 months. You cannot get buried in a Jewish cemetery. I think the stakes are too high. You can't do it.
It's a great point by you.
I mean, it's macabre, but...
Kinda... Who does that better than me, Don? Really?
Yeah, it definitely...
You're Donovan McCobb.
But
sorry.
But I gotta say, Peter, if you're gonna have a temporary tattoo for 6 months, then that's gotta say something like loser. What? Like, it's gotta be something that's really difficult to have for 6 months.
I mean, anything, if it looked
otherwise,
like a real
you can pull a Michael, it looks fantastic, and the next thing you know, you're putting it on permanently.
How about if we put on a fake tattoo of yours, Peter, that would be the exact tattoo that Tyson has, since you're wearing his shirt?
Wow, that would be exciting. Like, what if,
hey, listen to my Mike Tyson podcast.
Tyson beats Roy Jones, and like we find out he's going to have another fight, and I wear the eye tattoo all the way till the next fight. That would be intense.
Be tremendous. I'm going to tell you, we're going to towel off. I've got a great recommendation for all of you out there, because I care about you. An unbelievable recommendation. So stick around for that. We'll talk more about the James Harden to the Nets rumors. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Welcome back to the Michael K. Show. A lot of time in front of the TV over the weekend. So, Jody and I decided to watch something on one of the streaming services on Saturday, and I wanted to watch some comedy, and then she said that she had been recommended from a friend of hers that The Queen's Gambit was really good. The only reason I agreed to it is because I always hear Don's voice in my head. Just do it. Don't start a fight. It's phenomenal. It's on Netflix. We got through 7 hours. It's 7-hour shows. In 2 days, finished it last night at about midnight. It was unbelievable how good it was. I hate chess, but it's just unbelievable. I recommend it to everybody, how good it was. It was the number one trending movie or show on Netflix over the weekend. It was great. Just thought I'd tell you all that.
I that's interesting. I watched the trailer, and I wasn't sure. I couldn't tell if it looked great or not.
But well, the actress is unbelievable.
Now I'm tempted.
Oh, you're going to love it. So we're talking about James Harden possibly joining the Nets. That's the big rumor out there. Ray Allen, who was part of the Big Three in Boston, does not like the idea. In an interview on SiriusXM NBA Radio, he said, if you look at Kyrie, Harden, if this happens, and then Kevin Durant, it's going to be extremely difficult for them to get along. Personality-wise, they might be great, but then on the court, it could cause trouble or problems, which ultimately could affect their relationship if they don't decide that they want to win. And scoring and having the ball in their hands does not matter to them. Between the three of them, KD did it in Golden State, so he understood a little bit of what the personalities can be like if they go awry. But it's the most difficult thing you have to do. Winning the championship in 08 with Boston was the most difficult thing I ever had to do, because I came from Seattle, where I'm shooting the ball 18, 19 times a game, and I go to Boston where it's 8 or 9 times a game. He said, there's a responsibility that comes with playing the game now, and you're hoping to win a championship. It's going to take specifically Harden, because now you got Kyrie, who's primarily a ball handler, both of them to figure out, how do we share the responsibility, how do we operate as a team? If they're willing to do it, it could be amazing what they accomplish. But if not, it could be a train wreck.
Yeah. Someone else I know said something similar to that.
Was that you?
That's right.
So there you have it. It is going to be difficult. I think the most difficult one will be Kyrie.
But, and maybe it's a stretch for me to think this way, but for Harden especially. I mean, the guy is a Hall of Famer, right? But he hasn't won. He's got a chance to maybe come to Brooklyn and win. Would it kill you just to just shelve the ego and see what this team can do and be a part of something special? Like, all you have to do, and not just him, but everybody, Kyrie, Durant, and just say, we've got a chance to do something really special here. We might be able to win 70 games. Why ruin that by just complaining I'm not getting the ball enough? Just one day. Suck it up for one season.
Well, he probably looks at it this way, Don. He doesn't think he's an effective player without the ball. He's not a great defender. So what does he bring into the party unless
he
scores the 35 points a game?
He's a better defender than he gets credit for.
But he's not a great defender.
When he locks down. But, Don, you're right. But it's just like that's the way people play the game. Although, it's interesting with Harden, because Harden wouldn't be effective being able to catch and shoot. It's not like he can't shoot lights out. He's a great shooter.
I just think when you have a chance to be a part of something special, and I understand that it's a ready-made thing and it's, you know, super teams and all that, but you have a chance to do something special and prove everybody wrong. Like, listen, also, we were able to do what people thought that we were going to blow up. Guess what? We went out there, won 70 games, won a championship. First ever for the Nets. First Brooklyn championship since 1955, right? Just, there's a lot to, and then over time, I guess that maybe it becomes an issue after the championship's already won. But you can't do it for just 1 year with so many special things on the line.
Also, it's hard to have a team operate and function well when no one knows who the guy is. Are they going to decide that KD is the guy? Because we had Stephen A. on our show last week, and he said Kevin Durant may be the best scorer ever, or in the conversation for the best scorer ever. Does James Harden see it that way? Because in Golden State, even though KD was KD, guys, we all knew when he came over, he realized because they were already a made team, it was Steph's team. And he fit into his role. Here, no one's played for the Nets yet. Kyrie's barely even played for the Nets yet. So have they decided, would they be able to decide who the guy is?
Do you have to?
I think you do.
Did Durant have to be the guy in Golden State?
No, because Steph was the guy.
But right. You know what? Steph gave up a lot. He allowed right. Durant to be the guy.
But that's what I'm saying. But it was still, even if KD would end up getting the shot, they knew that ultimately right. the front page of the program for Golden State was Steph Curry.
Yeah, because at least in Miami, you had the foundation of Wade, right? Because he had been there already. So even though LeBron's the man, there was at least the foundation of, hey, I'm the Heat guy, and then I can kind of distribute it out there like a de facto leader. Like, even though Kyrie played a handful of games, like, who is the guy to even start? But can't you just share that for one season? And it doesn't it make you great to know that there isn't somebody to defend? That there isn't one guy you know is going to get the ball at the end of the game?
I think it's all about ego. I really
right.
do.
I think that's what I mean.
That's why guys maneuver to get in these positions.
Ego is an easy thing to just decide. I'm not gonna allow that to be an issue. Ego is not an injury. Ego is not something that has to be there. And again, I can understand it if you're a team that even on your best day is going to be a 50-win team and you don't know what you're going to do in the postseason. If they come together, then this could be the team going into the year. This could be a dominant type of team. And for one season, you just can't do that.
You know, if this does happen, though, what Sean Marks has done as the GM of the Brooklyn Nets, to me, would be one of the most astonishing turnarounds in sports history. When he took over the Nets, there was nothing. The cupboard was bare. And all these years later, building up assets, maneuvering the cap, making smart trades and smart drafts, and he'd have three of the best players in the NBA from nothing.
It still took that break of Kyrie growing up a Net fan. Because wasn't that the piece you had to have happen in order to get KD and in order to put yourself in this situation?
I don't know. I
don't know either.
I mean, I think it's a convenient storyline after it happened, but I think Kyrie was going with Durant. I don't know if it was the other way around. I just don't. I mean, I could be wrong. Michael Caso on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Now, Kyrie was a Net fan, but I give up trying to understand Kyrie. I'm not that deep. Let's go to Errol in Long Island. Errol.
Hey, how you guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Man, I'm good. Don, you're the man. You're my favorite. And Peter, I got to rebuke your claim that Brad Stevens is a great coach. I'm a Celtics fan, diehard. But to me, he's a great X and O's guy, but he's not a leader of men. They should have beat the Heat in that bubble conference finals. They had to beat the Heat. Like, he let Eric Spoelstra, who was thought to be just LeBron's puppet coach, they let him out-coach him.
But we found out he wasn't.
Yeah, but right? is he what I'm saying. Is he LeBron's puppet coach? This is a guy who's now been perennially good for a decade.
Yeah, but Brad Stevens been to the conference finals how many times and have gotten nothing out of it? And he's a great X and O's guy, but I don't think he's a leader of men. And he has to develop Taco Fall. We cannot have 7 feet 7 plus feet on the bench doing nothing. He's not even in a warm up. You know what I'm saying? He's in street clothes. Like, no. what are we doing right now? We need him. I can't have Theis out there running the five no more. That is not helping us win. We need a 7-footer that we can just throw the ball down in the paint and get a bucket. He got developed tackle four.
But you don't give Stevens any credit, Errol, for, I mean, when he took over the Celtics, they were terrible. He slowly but surely put together a perennial contender.
We were in a rebuilding state. We lost Doc Rivers.
Right.
We drafted Marcus Smart. We was in a rebuilding state. I mean, I feel like you put any competent coach with the GM that we have, Danny Ainge.
But Errol, I mean, so the stuff he did at Butler, a school that shouldn't be in the Final Four that has nothing, I mean, it shows you he's a great coach.
I mean, I said that he's a great X and O's guy, but a leader of men, I feel like an NBA is different from college. You have to be a leader of men in the NBA to rile the guys up and really get that extra push.
I don't know. Errol, with all due respect, I think they motivate themselves. I think you have to be more of a rah-rah type guy in college. And I'd rather have an NBA coach who's a great X's and O guy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't see how any Celtic fan could be disappointed with what Brad Stevens has done so far with them. You were expecting them to get to the conference finals last year?
Can I ask you guys one thing? And I know you'll both take it the wrong way.
Sure. Oh, I love taking things the wrong way.
Well, why is it incumbent upon people when they call now, Peter, you're my favorite. Don, you're my favorite. Why?
Well, I think with me in particular,
right.
It's because they hear how many people call up and say they hate me.
Right. Well, you can say, Peter, I like you, but Peter, you're my favorite. We all know Don is the shining light in the sky. We get it. But does everybody have to completely, every single time, go, you're my favorite? It hurts. When you're not the guy chosen, it hurts.
Well, it doesn't hurt me.
Hurts me.
Everybody's have their favorite, but as long as they listen to the show, I think we drive that by always competing with one another and who's the most generous or who's a bad guy. I think the audience is responding the way we deal with each other.
It's hurtful.
I love it.
I really try. Try to be everybody's favorite, and I guess
that's the thing.
That's the problem.
You're
trying too hard, bro.
Wow. I'm gonna take some time to reflect.
Go ahead. Take a minute.
No, I'm gonna take about 4 minutes.
All right.
And we'll make some money running commercials during that time. But you hurt me, everybody. You really do. Why can't I be the favorite every now and then? Why?
Because you know why.
Already.
Why?
You don't need to be anyone's favorite when it's called the Michael K Show.
Right. Your management's favorite. That's all.
Do you want to know what this show is without Michael? It's called The Show.
That's right. Your management's favorite. You're the advertiser's favorite. So,
simmer down, everybody. I'm gonna walk around the house a bit. I'll be back. We'll take more phone calls. Bye.
I guess what makes you different than every other human being that I know?
Talent.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.